Hey, good morning, church. So a friend recently gave me her December copy of National Geographic. Anyone get this still? That's kind of cool. This month, it's about the archaeological digging that's going on under Jerusalem right now. National Geographic, they always, at Christmas and Easter, have a religious theme to the magazine. Sells more magazines this time of year. Why? Because we're hearing all this stuff in church, and we want to know more about it. Not only are they going to tell you a story about it, they're going to give you color photos of it. And so, as I was looking through what she gave me, I was really surprised to see in bright pink this photo that mentions the obscure king who is referenced in today's scripture from Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. This photo is of Zedekiah's cave, where the last king of Judah, supposedly, we know this happened to him. I don't know if it happened right here, but supposedly the last king of Judah was captured here. He was tormented here. He had his children killed in front of him here. He was blinded here. And he was sent away into Babylonian captivity right here, right where people are enjoying a rock concert in the photo in National Geographic. Now, the prophet Jeremiah, he stayed behind after the Babylonians first attacked and conquered Jerusalem 10 years earlier. He stayed behind for 10 years while Zedekiah was king, and he was very critical of Zedekiah, this guy that was put on the throne by the king of Babylon. Jeremiah compares Zedekiah to a shepherd who doesn't care for his sheep. That's what he was doing when he was running away from Jerusalem, trying to save his own skin instead of protecting his sheep. Now, Jeremiah, he repeats this promise in today's scripture that we've heard earlier from Isaiah, that out of the dead stump of David's family tree is going to come a righteous branch, a righteous shoot. New life is going to spring up out of nowhere eventually. And when he does, he will be righteous where Zedekiah was unrighteous. Hear the good news that comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. There's a joke in this scripture. Pay attention. It's very subtle. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the funny part. See if you catch it. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. I want you to read this last two lines with me, because this is the punchline. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Word of the Lord. E.B. White wrote children's book. Anyone ever read Charlotte's Web when they were growing up? Anyone ever read Stuart Little when they were growing up? E.B. White, you know him, right? Wrote good books. He was a funny guy. And he once said, explaining a joke is like dissecting a frog. You understand it better, but the frog dies in the process. My friends, I am going to spend some time this morning dissecting the joke that we find in today's scripture. I do not expect you to laugh when we are done with the surgical operation. I do hope you will understand Jesus better, though. That's my hope. I often say pay attention to the jokes in the Bible. You know, the Bible, it's filled with clever wordplay and humor, but the jokes are so hard to pick up on. I mean, they were written in Hebrew, they were written in Greek, and then they're translated in jokes. They just don't translate well. Have you ever heard something funny in Spanish and tried to make it funny in English? It doesn't always work. Swedish jokes work, but that's another story completely. Usually it's hard to translate humor, and so we often miss the punchlines. And I got to tell you, when I was preparing for this sermon, I totally missed that punchline at the end. Totally missed it. I had to dissect the scripture. It's like, oh, wait, that's funny. Oh, wait, that's also deeply meaningful. And to get them, you have to understand the both. So we're going to dissect frogs today, okay? So have your Bibles ready. We are going to open it up and try to understand Jeremiah 23. If you've got your Bibles, look at it with me, please. Now, Jeremiah, what he's doing is he's making a sly joke about Zedekiah's name, okay? Everyone in Jerusalem, they knew Zedekiah was not his real name. That wasn't his name. He was not born with the name Zedekiah. He was born Mataniah, which means God's gift. It's a good name, Mataniah. But when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon first conquered Judah in 587 BCE, he exiled the true king to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar put this guy Mataniah on the throne of David and renamed him Zedekiah, which comes from the Hebrew word zedek or zadok, right? Which means righteous. Righteous or righteousness, okay? That's what the root is. Or God is my righteousness in Zedekiah's case, okay? Zedekiah, my God is righteous, okay? Or God is my righteousness. But his name is a complete joke, right? Because Zedekiah is anything but a righteous dude. Let's see what the Bible says about him. The book of Kings tells us this about Zedekiah. The book of Kings, 2 Kings 24:9 says, Zedekiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This is not a righteous man. The prophet Ezekiel, who's in Babylon at this time, he says of the king, he was a profane and wicked prince, not living up to the name Zedekiah. Jeremiah compares Zedekiah and his wise men to rotten fruit. That's funny, okay? That's a funny image when you think he stinks, okay? He smells of rotten fruit, rotten figs in this case. And then Jeremiah says this, I will make them abhorrent, an offense to all the kingdoms of the earth, a reproach and a byword and a curse. And this is the word of the Lord that Jeremiah is proclaiming, and an object of ridicule. What God is saying is that Zedekiah is hilarious. We're supposed to laugh at his antics, this person whose name is righteous when he's an unrighteous man. You're supposed to notice it. You're supposed to chuckle at what's going on here. Do you remember the old fable of the emperor with no clothes? Do you remember that story? A couple of con artists sold the emperor some make-believe clothes, and only the very wise were supposed to be able to see them, right? No one wanted to be considered a fool, so all the wise men in the empire pretended that they could see the invisible clothes, and the emperor paraded around in his underwear, right? And he's on parade. He's in the middle of the street until a little boy says, hey, emperor's got no clothes. And everyone started to laugh at the king and to laugh at themselves for pretending that he was clothed. Jeremiah is like that child stating the obvious. Zedekiah is not a righteous man. This is an unrighteous king. Which brings us to the punchline that we find at the end of our scripture today. Jeremiah was talking about the king and his royal advisors when he spoke about shepherds leading the sheep astray. And the people were certainly familiar with this promise of Isaiah that there's going to be a righteous shoot, a righteous branch. It's actually like a technical messianic term, right? Branch, okay? If you're the branch, that means you are the one that shoots up and brings new life out of death, right? Okay, the branch. Jeremiah makes this clever pun when he declares that this branch would be called Zedek, righteous, righteousness. That the Savior would be called righteous. Or in the very final word of our scripture, this is the name by which he will be called the Lord, our righteous Savior. You can read right by that and go, well, yeah, he's just going to be called righteous Savior. No, don't miss this. Jeremiah is saying, this guy pretends to be called righteous, but a king is coming for you who will actually be righteous. And people laughed with delight because they knew they would be saved. That in an unrighteous time, that they would be given a righteous Savior. I don't hear you laughing. Forgive me for taking so long to explain a 2,600-year-old joke. I am sure that Jeremiah had him roaring in the aisles when he told that joke 2,600 years ago. And just like dissecting a frog, I'm afraid that my surgery was completely terminal to Jeremiah's joke this morning, okay? We're not going to laugh. But my job is not really to make you laugh. I really do appreciate it when you show me a little pity and you laugh at my pastor jokes. I really am grateful for that, by the way. Thank you. But that's not my job. My job is to help you understand the Bible better. My job is to help you understand the gospel and Jesus better. I'm hoping that you understand the meaning of Jeremiah's promise. There was an unrighteous king, but there is a righteous king coming, the Savior of the world. So what does it mean to be Zadok, to be righteous? The Old Testament makes it clear that being righteous is about a right relationship with God. Righteousness means that you repent for your sins. Righteousness means depending on God even when you were unfairly treated. Righteousness means caring for the poor and the widows, and the orphans. Jesus gives us a nice summary of what righteousness is in the Sermon on the Mount. You want to know what righteousness is? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount gives a pretty nice summary of what Old Testament righteousness was defined as. Jesus blesses the meek and the merciful, for they are righteous. Jesus blesses the pure in heart and the peacemakers. Why? For they are the righteous ones. So then, who is righteous? None of us can achieve righteousness on our own. Both the Old and the New Testaments make it very clear that no one measures up to the righteousness of God. We are all sinners in need of a Savior to heal us from our sin and our separation from God. There is no political solution for unrighteousness. There is a spiritual solution for unrighteousness. The only chance that we become righteous is when we repent and believe the gospel that Jesus takes the sins of the world away, including your sins, including my sins. That is where righteousness begins. Now, on Tuesday morning, I was surprised to discover that the poet Lucy Shaw showed up to read poetry at Bethany Covenant Church. Anyone ever read Lucy Shaw's poetry before? Oh, see, this is what I was afraid of. This woman, she's like the best Christian poet working in the English language that I know of today. This is a big deal. It's like, oh yeah, this nice woman came and read poetry. No, this is a huge, huge deal. And we are very blessed to have her. She has several Christmas poems that help flesh out the mystery of the incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, moved into the neighborhood. Okay? I'm going to read one of them right now called Mary's Song that she read on Tuesday. It was really touching to my heart and gets to the wonder of God imparting his righteousness on us. It goes like this. Blue and homespun in the bend of my breast, keep warm the small, hot, naked star fallen to my arms. Rest. You have come so far to come. Now nearness satisfies. The body of God sweetly, quiet he lies, whose vigor hurled a universe he sleeps, whose eyelids have not closed before. His breath, so slight it seems, no breath at all, once ruffled the dark deeps to sprout a world. Charmed by doves' voices, the whisper of straw, he dreams. Hearing no music from his other spheres, breath, mouth, ears, eyes, he is curtailed, who overflowed all skies, all years. Older than eternity, now he is new, now native to earth as I am, nailed to my poor planet, caught that I might be free. Blind in my womb to know my darkness ended, brought to this birth for me to be newborn, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn. For him to see me mended, I must see him torn. That was God's response to the unrighteousness in this world. Instead of destroying the world with water or fire, God the Father sent his only begotten Son to be born in a barn, God in human flesh. Instead of conquering the world with a heavenly host of angels, God the Father sent Jesus to take on human flesh. Instead of a public relations campaign that engages in propaganda, God the Father allowed Christ the Lord to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Instead of abandoning the truth or morality, God the Father raised God the Son from the grave to give eternal life to you tomorrow and a better life to you today. That is the good news of the incarnation. That is the good news of Christmas. That is the good news that Jeremiah was talking about 600 years before Jesus was born. I got something for you. It's righteousness, and it comes from God, not from you. Jesus is the Son of God. He was with God the Father when Jeremiah first prophesied about the Messiah. But Jesus is also the son of Mary and Joseph. He grew up studying the Bible. He grew up reading the scroll of Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah's joke. He knew about Zedekiah, the unrighteous one. And he knew that righteousness was coming through him. So when Jesus preaches, you sometimes hear echoes of Jeremiah's joke. Do you know that? You sometimes hear echoes of the laughter 600 years later when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, but does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Does that sound familiar to you? That's what Zedekiah did. Remember the bad sheep that's mentioned in today's scripture? Bad shepherd in today's scripture? The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He's not just talking about Zedekiah, but the people who knew the scripture would have gone, oh, they would have made the connection, even though we don't always. King Zedekiah ran away from Jerusalem because he was a bad shepherd who never, ever cared for his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd because he doesn't run away. He lays down his life to save you from your sins. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The flock listens to Jesus' voice, and they follow after Jesus. Jesus knows who you are. He knows where you are unrighteous. Jesus still wants to save you. Jesus still loves you. He's a good shepherd, and he moved heaven and earth to come save you. You can hear echoes of Jeremiah's joke when Jesus says, "I am the true vine." This is John 15, the righteous branch. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like Zedekiah? That got lopped off, that got pruned off of the house of David? Oh yeah, it does. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful." This is the part about righteousness that we need to talk about. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It is the word of God in your connection to Jesus that makes you righteous. Not getting it all right. It is the righteousness of Jesus put on you. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus is saying, okay, I'm that branch. I'm that righteous branch. No, I'm a vine. Because I'll go anywhere I want. And I'll connect with anyone I want. And I will make the unrighteous righteous by my love. Zadok. Zadok. I will make you truly the righteous one. Not because you do everything perfect, but because Jesus' righteousness is enough to make broken people like you and me righteous. That is what it means to be connected to the righteous branch, our Jesus Christ. None of us are ever going to be perfect, but when we're connected to Jesus, we can bear the fruit of Jesus' righteousness in our lives. My friends, there's only one Savior, except no substitutes. Only Jesus Christ is the righteous shepherd. Only Jesus Christ is the righteous branch. Jesus is the only king worth following. Thanks be to God. Amen.